My friends, we're going to learn Maseches Tamid today. We're just kind of like going to do a little bit of a introduction. I just want you to know Maseches Tamid is in Seder Kodshim. I have over here, Baruch Hashem, some Talmidim are with me. Just so you should know who's around. I have Dovi Center, Shragi Center. We've got over here Yitzchak Ben Ayun, who's with us. Zevi Kaufman, David Uri Center. Wow, a lot of centers here. Oh, what a surprise. And we got, and we have Elio Yosef, Rents is with me, Achmiel Dryash, and Max. And Max Siegel, I'm thinking Bentley just because I got Bentley like right in my face over there. Max,
hey.
We're learning Maseches. We're going to learn Maseches Tamid. It's a very small Masechta. It's a Masechta we can easily finish. I'd like to finish it together with you. We're going to do just the simple learning of the Gemara. And there is no Yerushalmi on Maseches Tamid, but there is a Bavli on Maseches Tamid. Maseches Tamid is something that we spoke about a little bit recently. I'm actually in the back, by the way, over here, just so you should know, of Reuven Tepper's apartment. If that's the, I hope this doesn't fall down on us. There you go.
That's fancy.
Wow. Now it's looking fancy. And Maseches Tamid is about what? It's about Tamid, about being consistent. In the Beis HaMikdash, there were certain consistencies, certain things that were constant. One of them is it's called the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid is a korban that we had every morning and we had it every night. And the Beis HaMikdash is the epitome of consistency. And I want you to know the world stood on the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is one of the foundations. It's an interesting thing. In this past week's parasha, Vayakol Pakude was a repetition of parashas Truma and Tetzaveh. And we only have three major repetitions. Listen to this, my friends. The Beis HaMikdash is one major repetition, which is Vayakol Pakude. Another major repetition that we have is Maimed Har Sinai, which is the Luchos that we have in Parashas. Someone help me out. Yisroi, and also in Parashas Veschanan. Yes, Go Chavizdas. Go Chavizdas. We do like half, like fist bumps, kind of. Anyway, and the third repetition, let's see if anyone can guess this, the third repetition. I'll give you a hint. It's Sefer Bereishis. Bris Olam is good. That's good. But after Bris Olam, there's a repetition that somewhere. What? No, not thinking about that. Where someone repeats an entire episode, he tells over an entire narrative of what happened. It happened, and then we have a repetition. The Shirach? Which Shirach? Yitzchak Shirach. There you go. Fist pump there for Max, which is the whole story of Yitzchak that Eliezer tells over everything that happened. The Gemara talks about how everything is being repeated. We have three things that are being repeated. There's the shidduch of Yitzchak when Eliezer went to get the shidduch. There's Vayakol Pekude, and then there's the Maimon Har Sinai or the Kabbalah Satorah, the Aseres Hadibros. So in a sefer called Aderes V'Yamuna. So over there, it's written by none other than somebody. Anyway, it says over there that the three things the world stands on. It's in the Mishnah in Avos. Al shloshim dvarim ha'olam oimed. Ala toira, ala avoida, v'al gemilos chasod. Who said that? Anyone know who said that? Who's the person that said that thing? Al shloshim dvarim ha'olam oimed. Atana. That's right. It's Atana. As a matter of fact, Atana is buried. If you have a very strong arm, a stone's throw from here. If you have a very strong arm.
Shimon
HaTzadik. And he said, Ashlosh Dvar Ma'olamayimeh, Ala Toira, Ala Avoida, Ve'al Gemilos Chasadim. Those are the three things that the world is standing on. So now, which one of these three things would you say is Toira? That's pretty easy. Toira. Okay, Aseres HaDibros, that we repeated it. Because when the Torah repeats something, that's showing you it's emphasizing the importance of it. So that's Kabbalah's HaTorah that was repeated twice to show us the world is standing on Torah. And what is the Beis HaMikdash? The Iker of the Beis HaMikdash is Avodah, is the Karbonos that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, Rabbi Yisrael, I want you to know what the third thing is. What's the third thing? What is a Shidduch? Gemilos Chasadim. Rabbi Yisrael, Shidduch is Gemilos Chasadim. And that's why the mivchan, the test for Rivka. What was the test for Rivka? That she's going to be a good shidduch. She's going to do a lot of chesed. She's going to bring a lot of water for her and for the camels, for all that. Because the hefta of a shidduch is gemilas chasodim, is in order to do chesed. We have guests waiting outside, the Pashkis family. We're interested in hearing Mesuras Tovus, Beis Hashem. How you doing, Ari? Ari, fist pump. There you go. He's on the Torah to me, Ari Pashkis. Anyway, Akoponim, so we have these three things, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasodim, the three things the world stands on. So that's why the Beis HaMikdash is so important. What happens this past week's parasha is Vayakol Bakuri is to emphasize the chashivus of the idea of Avodah of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're going to speak about over here different things. What we're going to start talking about is the fact that there were shomrim in the Beis HaMikdash. Right in the beginning of the Masechta, we start speaking about the fact that Mishloishim HaKoyimis HaKoyinim shomrim beBeis HaMikdash. There was a shomer in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Rishonim say the following thing, the Mefarshim. Why do we need shomrim in the Beis HaMikdash? By the way, this is all way of introduction. We're going to cruise through this Masechta. But I'm trying to introduce because I also want to try to speak to some of the present Talmidim to make sure that they get on board. So today we're just doing intro. But why do we need to do shmir in the Beis HaMikdash? Rishonim say, the Mefarshim on the side, say that it's not because you're afraid that they'll steal something. Why? Ein anios b'makom ashiris, which means they steal something, they'll steal it. We'll get another one. We got endless supply. So it's not a problem. That's one shot. Also, if you're afraid of someone stealing something, one shomer would be enough. You just have to be by the entrance, and the rest of it's not really a problem. So what are we having shomrim for? Says Dovi Center. For covered. Just like if you've ever been by the changing of the guard in England, it has absolutely nothing to do with real protection. It's just this purely a display of honor. That's all it's meant to be. And it's supposed to be, you know, they can't talk. And of course, the Americans make them talk. And, you know, it's the whole thing. But the point is that Americans don't know what COVID is. But the point is that it's supposed to show respect. And the idea of COVID, the Beis HaMikdash, is a concept called Moira Mikdash. You're supposed to have fear of the Beis HaMikdash. It's supposed to be a place where you walk in and it's like, you know, like there's an awe that's there. There's an awe of the Beis HaMikdash. When we spoke about in the Shvile Pinchas on Friday, we spoke about that there's two different types of Yira. There's a Yiras Ha-Oinish and there's a Yiras Ha-Roimimus. Two different types of Yira. There's awe when you're afraid something bad will happen. By the way, that happens to the Beis HaMikdash. Someone comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he's not supposed to come that way. For example, even if he just brings Chulin Bazar, which means he brings something that's not Kodesh. He brings an animal and he didn't bring a Kodesh to the Beis HaMikdash. He's in deep, deep trouble. He does that. Why? Because there's serious repercussions for the wrong person going the wrong place, bringing the wrong animal, the wrong thing. Don't mess around with the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash, there's Yiras Ha'inish, but there's also Yiras HaRoimimus in the Beis HaMikdash. You come to the Beis HaMikdash, it's like unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Everything, the Nisan that are going on there, the godless, the beauty, everything to see, the koyanim, the koyan godol, with the kelim doing the avodah, everything, is you're just in awe of everything that you're seeing. And we explained that was perhaps the machlokes between Bezalel and Moshe as to whether or not you build first the kelim or the Beis HaMikdash, or first the Beis HaMikdash and then the kelim, or the Mishkan in that case, but it's really the same thing, which is, do you have first Yira, or do you have first Torah? The kelim being the Torah, like the Aron is kelim, and and the menorah is Torah, even the Shulchan, because what you're doing is you're supporting Torah. It's all Torah. But the Mikdash is supposed to be like Yira. So what comes first? The answer is Yira an Oynish has to come before Torah. But Torah comes before Yira Sarayimimus. In other words, if you really want to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash nowadays, my friends. How do we be able to appreciate the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Through learning Torah. That's our connection to Hashem. So that's one of the things that we're speaking over here is about the Shomrim. There's going to be three places where Kohenim are Shomrim. There's also going to be the Levim. Levim also do Shemira. The Kohenim and the Levim both share jobs in the Beis HaMikdash. Some of the jobs that are there are for the Kohenim. The Levim are more like assistants to the Kohenim. That's the Levi is kind of like Tuffle to the Kohen, and he does work with the Kohen. Now, the first thing that they do in the morning after we have this Shemira, and we're going to be speaking about that soon, is the removal of the ashes from the altar, known as Trumas Hadeshen. And it's an interesting thing. It's the very first thing they do in the morning is take out the garbage. The reason why they do that in the morning is because the entire night, the fire is burning there. They wake up in the morning, and the first thing they do, and it's perhaps it is divine providence that it's that way. For what reason? So if you look in the Sefer Eish, Tam Vadas, or Moshe Sternbach, Shlita. And he says over there, because taking out the garbage can be somewhat of a menial task. It's the type of thing that people don't necessarily think is being such a lofty idea. There's a famous story about Rav Gifter, that one time a couple came to Rav Gifter and they were having shalom bias issues. Rav Gifter asked, like, give me an example, one of the things you fight about. So, Yosef, if you're listening carefully to the story, yeah, here it goes.
I'm listening.
They're fighting over who should take out the garbage. She says it's a man's job. And he says, I'm a ben Torah. I sit and learn. I'm like, it's not becoming for me to walk around with garbage. You know, it's not becoming. So you see that garbage is somewhat of a menial task. Anyway, so the way the story goes is that Rav Gifter told the couple, you know what, I think he's right. It's not befitting of him. He should take out the garbage. Anyway, they left, and a few minutes later, there's a knock on their door. They get home. A few minutes later, there's a knock on the door, and there's Rav Gifter. They said, what did the Rashiva come for? He says, I came to take out the garbage because it's not befitting for you, so I'm going to do it. In other words, if a person doesn't understand that big people do little things. So the Kohenim have to get that straight right away. A Kohen gets a lot of covet. He gets a lot of honor. And sometimes a Kohen can, thank you very much, lost it. A Kohen can feel like, you know, I'm like so chashiv and people give me so much respect. We want a Kohen right away to start off his day with taking out the garbage, to understand that even big people, as a matter of fact, though, should know that it was very exciting for the Kohen. They actually fought over who could take out the garbage. It got to the point where it actually got even a little bit dangerous because the Kohenim were fighting over it. They'd run up the ramp of the Mizbeach, and one of the Kohen accidentally elbowed another Kohen. You see, they didn't run to get lunch, my friends. Those of you that are in yeshiva now know what I'm talking about. Anyway, stampede towards lunch. It was a stampede towards taking out the garbage. That's what they stampeded towards. So they got to a point where they had to actually make a rotation to make sure that no one would get hurt. They did a lottery. It's called a pious. We're going to see this, Beis Hashem, in Maseches Tumim. Maseches Tumim is very, very short. As a matter of fact, it's only around 11 daf. Sorry, it's 7 or 8 daf. Daniel Berg is counting the daf right now, and you'll see that it's really not that much. So it's really something we can do. You just have to try to stay consistent. Avi Cavalier, I see that you're with us. If you could try to get the other boys from the shir, just so they should know that we're doing this, the bachim that are in the shir presently, it would be very meaningful to me if we could have those talmidim with us, that they'll be joining us for the shir. We're going to learn Maseches Tumim, and it's a big thing to learn Tumim, especially when we're preparing for the Beis HaMikdash. You should know that the Chofetz Chaim wanted his talmidim to know a lot about the Beis HaMikdash. Chofetz Chaim was a Kohen, and he had a special koilal of Kohenim that should learn about the Beis HaMikdash. Farvos, if you all understand why. Why? We should be ready for Mashiach. Mashiach comes, and it's like, well, what do we do now? I don't know. It's like, hey, you have to bring a karma. You know, we gotta know. So we also have to know what's going to go on over here. So we're learning because Ani ma'amin be'amuna shalema. I believe that Mashiach is coming, Beis Hashem, b'mheirah b'yameinu, and whether or not Corona is gematria Mashiach, it's not gematria Mashiach, whether or not this is the beginning of Mashiach or not, Mashiach is coming. So let's learn a little bit about Maseches Tumim. Rabbi Yisai, we're going to just start a little bit. Can I have your watch? So we can see. Okay, we have another 10 minutes. There are three places where the Kohenim stand. And what we're going to do is, I ordered, it's supposed to be actually be here any day today. I ordered a Gemara with pictures to show you because there's a lot of different pictures. You have to see how the Beis HaMikdash was set up. Now, the Beis HaMikdash was basically set up similarly in all three Batei Mikdash. However, there are different sizes. I say three because there's the third one, which is coming. By the way, there's controversy of whether or not there was like another form of Beis HaMikdash that was built at a time. Rabbi Leibel Resnick, the father of Rabbi Elimelech Resnick, has a shita that there was actually another Beis HaMikdash based on, he wrote a whole book about it, about how based on multiple sources that there was something which is a form of a Beis HaMikdash, a different structure kind of that was built. But we're going to go with the three basic ones, first, second, and the third one, which B'mehira Yavoi, will be coming soon. Beis HaMikdash Shel Eish, fire, that's going to come down. But anyway, so we're going to have a basic diagram, I believe, mainly of the second Beis HaMikdash. So in three places, the Kohanim would do Shmira, the Beis HaMikdash. And these three places, one is called Beis Aftinas. Aftinas is the name of a person. Beis HaNitzutz is called the Chamber of Light. And the third one is called Beis HaMoiked. And we're going to go through all three of these. We're going to go through all this Beis Hashem, hopefully, again tomorrow. We're going to do this every single day. We're going to try to do around an Amid a day and see how much we can get done. Beis Aftinas or Beis HaNitzutz, Hayo Aliyos. Beis Aftinas and Beis HaNitzutz were Aliyos, which means they were upper chambers. There was two decks to the Beis HaMikdash. They were like on top. The Roivim Shaimim Sham, and they used to have, the Roivim was the young Kayanim, the one with the fresh legs. So they were the ones that would keep watch there. Beis HaMoiked, and Beis HaMoiked was different. These are the three different places. Beis HaMoiked was Kippa. Beis HaMoiked had a dome, thank you, on top of it. Ubayis Gadol Havi, and it was a very large chamber. We call them chambers. Mukaf Roivdin Shel Evan, and had stones that were like sticking out. In the Beis HaMoiked, there are these stones that would be like jutting out of the wall. V'zikne Beis Av Yishenim Sham, and the older members of the Kohuna, they would sleep there on these slabs of stone which are coming out of the wall. Umaftechos Ha'azara Biyadam, and they would have sleep with the keys to the Azara in their hands. I would assume hands is lav davka, doesn't mean literally in their hands, but rather, what does it mean where they would sleep? They would sleep with them. They would have the maftechas either under their head or something like that. And when it comes to the young kohanim, before we called them the roivim, now we're calling them pirchei kohuna, ish kisesoi ba'aretz. So they would sleep with each man with his clothing on the ground. And there's a whole discussion of whether or not you could put your clothing under your head as a pillow. Can a person sleep with that as a pillow? We'll try to perhaps expound on this a little bit tomorrow. L'hayishenim b'bigdei kodesh. He wouldn't sleep in b'gdei kodesh. Ela poishtim. They would take them off. U'mekaplin, and they would fold them. Of course, when you take off your clothing, you have to fold them to show them the proper respect, not just drop them somewhere near your bed. You understand this is not just a base medrash, but also this is functioning as a dormitory, but that's for whatever. It's anyway, menichin oisam tachas rosh heyem. Here it is. They put it under their heads. And how exactly they could do that, we will speak about it. I said, miskasim b'ksus atzmam, and they would cover themselves with their own type of blanket. So now the Mishnah goes on and says, ira keri le'echad mehem. What happens if one of these people, they woke up and they had what's called a seminal discharge in the middle of the night, something that they had some sort of nocturnal seminal discharge. So what do? They had to go to the mikvah. And what we're going to speak about over here is exactly how did that happen. So there was like this special tunnel. In order for them to get to the mikvah, they had to do the following thing. He would go out and walk along this winding staircase that would go underneath the Beis HaMikdash. So there was this special place, there were these corridors under the Beis HaMikdash, where he would be able to go in order to get to a mikvah. Now, apparently, it was somewhat of an embarrassment for a person who would be who would have this type of situation. The fact that he saw something that was tameh obviously came from some sort of flaw. Now, nowadays, even though it's still considered to be something that's frowned upon, but if this happens accidentally, So there's actually a nusach a person could say that this is not intentional. I didn't do this because I wanted to do it. And we don't look at this as something that a person should try to regret because tumah has just enveloped us. We've been surrounded by so many different things that have tumah that it's hard for us to even to be able to behave properly. Never mind if there's something that happens instinctively or something happens on its own, naturally through the body, so we don't consider this to be something that a person should necessarily regret. But in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it was something they wanted to have some privacy. He wanted to be able to go to the mikvah and do this without anyone knowing about it. And also, he has to get out of the Beis HaMikdash, which we're going to see how he does that also. It says over here the following thing. It says that he would go into this tunnel underneath the Beis HaMikdash. V'neiros dolke mikan umikan adju magia lebeis HaTvilah. You have to picture it. And there's like, there's torches that are lit or candles in the wall as he's walking through underneath the ground. And they're on both sides until he got to a place called the Beis HaTvilah. And that's where the mikveh was. Umadura Isasham, there was a big fire there. There was a good word for a big fire. What was that? A madura is like a campfire, a big fire. It's not a torch, it's more than a torch. Now the reason for the big fire was because it was freezing cold. I mean, it could have been freezing cold at least. And they're going to the mikvah. Now they gotta they gotta dry themselves. So they had a place where they could they'd be able to warm themselves. Ubeis akise shel kavod. And there was a bathroom over there that was considered to be a very respectful one. What was the kavod? Matzoi na'ol yodei sheish ha'madim. You found it locked. You knew that someone was there, and therefore you had to wait until that person was able to finish what he was doing. Basuach yodei sheish ha'madim. If it was open, it was unlocked, you knew no one was there. So yarad v'taval olav and estapik. He would go down, he would be tayfal. He would come up, and he would dry himself off u'mischameim, and he would heat himself keneged ha'madura. In front of this big bonfire. That was the word I was looking for. Bonfire. Bob Yoshev lo etzel echav ha-koinim. He would come back discreetly and sit by his friends, the koinim. Ad she'ash'arim niftachim, yoytzei v'hoylech lo'i. And then when the gates would be open, he'd go out. Now we're going to talk about exactly where he could go and why would he go out. He'd go out because there's a concept called Harav Shemesh, which means that until sundown, he is not allowed to do avodah. So therefore, he's out. He goes out of the Beis HaMikdash until the sundown, and then he's able to come back in. So this is the basic idea of the Mishnah. We're going to discuss the different halachas. We're going to review this, my friends. Anyone that didn't get this clear, we're going to start off slow. Kol haskalas kashas. We start off slow. We're going to build a good foundation. If anyone can encourage, of course, anyone that would like to join us. I see, Baruch Hashem, we have a very nice crowd here. There's about 30 people here on the call, and I appreciate all of you being here. Chaim Krakauer, I can't see you, but I know you're there. If you can encourage the Bachram from the Shir, Avi Cavalier also, if you could, to join us, because those are the Talmidim that I'm presently engaged on a daily basis. And of course, all of you, Daniel Berger is also there. Well, he was there at least. His computer's still there. There's There's two Daniel Bergers. How did that happen? I don't know how that happened. Daniel, you see me? Can you wave, Daniel?
I'm working on it, Rebbe. I'm working on it.
Okay, I see two Daniel Bergers. So, Daniel, if you could try to get the other guys to join us, I'd appreciate it. And Beis Hashem, we're going to continue every day. He's on the chat?
It's on the Rishima's chair chat.
Okay, great. Okay, Beis Hashem, it's Yat Dishmaya. We're going to continue with Seches Tamar. I have some of my Talmidim who are here presently in front of me. We're going to continue tomorrow. Beis Hashem, we're going to do Tamid. I want you to know that Yetzer Leva Adam Rak Ra Kol Hayoim. The Yetzer Hara is every day. Rak Ra Kol Hayoim. He's thinking bad things about us every day. We have to be consistent every day. We're going to do Maseches Tamid. We're going to be consistent. Beis Hashem, Siyata Dishmaya. Rak Ra Kol Hayoim is Soif Tevas Amalek. We're going to do Mechilas Amalek by learning this Torah. And Mez Hashem, we're going to be Zoyechet to Vayoyim Ahu Yi Hashem Echad Ishmael Echad. We're going to crown a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Have a great day, my friends.